This is tape recording number 7101C23, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 23rd of January, 1971. The title of this lecture is The Org Officer and His Resources, Part 1. Copyright 1971 by L. Ron Hubbard in the United Kingdom. Copyright 1978 by L. Ron Hubbard in the USA. All rights reserved. Unauthorized duplication, translation, importation, and distribution is a violation of applicable laws. This tape is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Now, the org officer in a highly idealized org would have an organizing officer in each division of that org as the deputy secretary. I would call these cats together and would say, this is the way it jumps. Let's have the product here of projects. And what are each one of you guys going to do in order to do this? Now, the product officer at this particular stage of the game would simply be going on getting more product. Now, I do this unreasonable thing whenever I'm in an org, and one of the reasons it's very, very workable in an org, you will see an org go zoom around it, and the reason why is I never take any pity on the organization. I am the most pitiless production officer you have ever heard of. Absolutely pitiless. And if not followed up by an organization action and compliance with orders to organize, why, then I have to start operating to correct the product and correct the establishment, but I do it. For instance, every now and then you hear of a director of processing or a CS or the head of the tech sec saying, we can't take more than 6 PCs because we don't have any more auditors than that. And at that moment, you will find me issuing an order to promotion at once, promote, to get in all the PCs you possibly can get in from everywhere, to the registrar, sign everyone up, and to the tech sec, you've had it. Where is that part of your hat that says you are to employ auditors? How many auditors do you know? Where do you know them? Get them in here. I think probably your peak load will probably come in another 14 days, so you have lots of time to put on 12 additional auditors. Get them totally trained, grooved in, and your state bureau, whoever's handling buildings and so forth, rent 2 more houses. Now, what do you have to do if you do all this? Now, we went back over the analysis of successful actions. Successful actions. The analysis of successful actions in this particular field is a completely pitiless product officer. He never thinks of the organization. He never thinks of its capacity except to utilize it to its totality. If he's got an idle piece of machinery that ought to be turning out bung jucks, then by God, that better start turning out bung jucks. Even though he has to grab the office boy and tell him to start winding that crank and send out the janitor to steal raw material to put through it. Now, that's like a hell of a disorganization, doesn't it? Where's your org officer that makes that correction real and it can push it back up after you've done all that? Well, the org officer actions which I have done in an org apparently are not repeated by other people in orgs. I have a report from LRH Comms that they continually say the greatest trouble they have with an executive of an org is to get them to walk through their portion of the org. Now, that is a direct report line and so forth. That's awful. I said, awful. It's treason. Well, what the hell are they doing sitting there? What are they doing sitting at that desk? The executives of an organization I'm only justified in sitting at a desk because I have a 24-hour messenger watch, and they run like hell. That's right. And I'm not justified sitting too long at that desk. Only I have lines of information which come in from all over the place. I make sure that those lines stay in. But who are these lines to? These lines are not necessarily. I'm the fellow who violates the external internal. I don't know. I can do it, and I don't find other people can. I don't know why that is, so I've not solved it particularly. But I do know that I resent having to handle too much product three while I am also having to wear some of my own hats. I know that there's some resentment will come up in that line sooner or later, mostly because there are only 24 hours in this cockeyed planet's day. There's only so much you can do. Of course, that's a bad posture, too, because, as I told you before, God couldn't hold this post. Impossible. You will also be saying that yourself, God can't hold this post. Unless you listen very carefully to what I am telling you, children, the Jabberwocky, the whole point in the thing is there's ways to live with this, but there are certain ways to do this, and they are very standard. And I can't imagine. It assaults my ire. It assaults my ire that somebody in charge of an organization would not have all kinds of mechanisms being familiar with the organization, or that an executive would depend in any way, shape, or form on his dispatches. Dispatches are usually to forward information, schedules, things that are written down, need okays, and that sort of thing. Dispatches aren't there to handle things. And it would just be impossible if you weren't in total communication with your organization to handle it at all. This assaults my ire. It's not possible. And I have a very willing group, and they write me anything that they think I ought to know about. That has the liability that you mustn't act on such reports when they contain too much N-theta and so on. You never act on such reports without getting a recoil. Once in a while I do. I'm always sorry that I do, but it keeps information up. I also have the ability to look around without going around too much. And the net result of that is a fairly close finger on the pulse. We go back over successful actions. When I'm running an org as an executive director, at least once a day, I walk through that entire organization and speak to every person in that organization. And as I'm normally operating from a product point of view, I nevertheless, because we have no product org officer system at that time, take the organization step as well. I'm interested in what their product is. I'm interested in what they're doing personally. I'm interested in what they need on their post in order to get their product out. There are some people here who have seen me do this. No, I sometimes miss a day and so forth, but I know when I've missed a day. I know when I should get some more information. And the result of that is that the org officer's function is performed completely in addition to the product officer's function, the org officer function. Now, an org officer should make a daily inspection around the org, finding out how the staff members are doing, and noting when they're not hatted or slightly unhatted, and rapidly put their hats on if there's any trouble with that. You'll find hat is the main thing that goes out. There's evidently a scale of hats, which we've suddenly evolved here, I haven't named any of these things. They've been a spontaneous evolution from some quarter or another inside the ship here. And there's instant hatting, there's mini hatting, and then there's full hatting. New nomenclature. Instant hatting is a sort of an action you do when you slam somebody onto a post and he's got to take the load of it and so forth, and you tell him what you want him to do. That's just instant hatting. You tell him what his post title is and what he's supposed to be doing on that post. Instant hatting. Brr. Tell him to get on with it. And then, of course, HCO can come along if he's going to be posted there, actually. HCO can come along, and the first thing they would do would give him a mini hat. And if it takes more than about 30 minutes to get on a mini hat, then there's probably something wrong with either HCO or the staff member. And then they schedule him up to be fully hatted. That's the sequence of events. If they're fully hatted, they get a certificate for it. So that's always been missing. Who is certified for what is having passed what hat? Actually, it should be something that happens and is counted for in a certs and awards area. So the org officer, however, is not just inhumanly interested in the organization. The org officer is interested in the individual as an individual, how he is doing, how he is getting on, whether he is able to do his job, if his health is maintaining, if that post is overloaded, if it needs help, or if the post is empty and isn't getting any traffic. How is this fellow doing? Is he had nothing to do on post so that he is bored stiff? Has he got too much to do on post and is going downhill? Now let's add this up to detection of a decline. Product 3. And with a daily swing around an organization and seeing everybody in the organization, an org officer would, of course, be in a position. He doesn't take up their time. He doesn't talk to them very long. He would be in a position then to know what was cooking in the place. He would have to know everybody in the place. He would have to know what everyone in the place did so that he could immediately detect any departure from the ideal scene. But he would also be interested in whether the person was getting his pay, whether the person was having troubles. Now, it isn't that this would affect efficiency. It he's interested in them as a human being. And that would be an essential action of the org officer. Now, it's all right to have a chaplain doing this sort of thing, but the trouble with having a chaplain doing this sort of thing is the org officer wouldn't have the information, would he? So therefore, he couldn't repair a decline or anticipate a decline. So he couldn't do his product 3. Now, as he walks around on that sort of thing, he would also get a look at the rest of the establishment. What's it look like? Now, he could determine out of that they didn't have enough cleaners, or people weren't interested in cleaning, or the cleaning establishment was organized all backwards. Cleaning establishment might have posted themselves as cleaner in charge and have no product of any kind whatsoever, like clean quarters or anything of the sort. Maybe all the locks are falling off the doors. Well, that obviously means that somebody is, some maintenance hat is totally neglected around here. So here is a needed organizational piece. Well, he fills that in. He doesn't go in and look at the org board and say, where are some holes in this org board? As a matter of fact, he might do quite the reverse in wandering around and talking to the people and checking them off on his list and so forth on his rounds. He might find out that about 30% of that org board is misposted. Now, he certainly should do something about it. He can leave the org board hanging there with all those posts held from above that are inactive, or he's got to determine whether or not those posts have any functions and should be filled. He's got to make a judgment. 3. The decline. Arresting the decline. All right, from the arresting of the decline, he can pass information through so that those responsible for putting the establishment there, who are under his orders, those responsible for it, can get together and push it back to its ideal scene or even raise the ideal scene's height so that it can handle the traffic. Now, do you see how the lines would go there? Now, the production officer and so on is worrying about product all this time, and he will find holes, and he will find what he is doing, so he keeps notes of these things, and he, while getting his product, passes this information back to the org officer. The org officer, if he's made his tours and he knows what it's all about and so forth, probably knows at that point who's idle, who isn't idle, what he can do to instantly shift this thing, go and get somebody by the nape of the neck and shove them over onto that post and that sort of thing. He knows exactly where his personnel resources are. He knows exactly where his supplies are. As he goes on his tour, he also knows where all the spare typewriters that aren't being used are and what state they're in the mimeograph machine and whether the photo offset machine has got any supplies for it, and he's got this and he's got that and he's got the other thing. And he's got his finger on all these points so that he can detect an incipient or existing decline, get the thing handled, push it back through. Now, of course, one of the things he has to do, and the biggest hole we've got in an organization, is hat. And that is the first thing that an org officer detects is wrong. The person's hat. Just like that. We're having trouble with the, we're having trouble over here with the success stories. And so forth. He doesn't wonder, the org officer doesn't wonder whether or not he can almost, in advance, know that whoever is on there is either nobody on the line or the people on that line haven't got their hat. Just like that. Oh, unhatted. Good. You'll find out that this will work out 99 and 44 100% of the time. Something wrong with the hats. And so forth. So he just does an instant hatting right away, quick. Look, you're supposed to sit here at the desk, and when the people come along and they give you these successes and so forth, well, you're supposed to have some paper here and they write down the successes, and you're supposed not to snarl at them or frown at them. You're supposed to be pleasant to them, and they write down their successes, and you took those over and you put them in this folder and so forth so that that can be staticized and so that those are available for promotion so they can be counted. You got that now. And the guy says, well, actually, so on. I haven't seen any case gains go through this or a long time. And they say, I don't have any case gain myself. I mean, you know, and I've just been wondering whether or not Scientology works, you see, and the org officer at that moment knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what to do at that particular split instant. He knows exactly where there is a personnel who isn't totally utilized. Within 3.5 minutes flat, there is another personnel sitting there, and he tells this other personnel, now, when the people come through along this line, you've got this piece of paper, and so on, and there's your ballpoints and your pad over here, and when they write up that thing, so on, why, you put it in the folder so it can be counted up. You got that all straight now. Good. Now, when people don't come through this line, let's get your hat a little bit expanded now. When people don't come through that line, you go in and you tell the examiner to send it to me. You put a sign on the examiner's desk. And if that doesn't work, we'll move your desk over alongside the examiner's desk. How's that? Guy says, what am I supposed to be? And you say, you're the success officer. You're the guy who's supposed to monitor the successes people have and so forth. You have this piece of paper, and don't snarl at him, and don't decide, and so on. What do you do with this other guy? Rooms of call. HCO says, what's the state of the personnel in this org today? Transferred all the left side over to the right side and the right side over to the left side. No, you've got to inform HCO and get an authorization for the transfer and the reason why and so on and et cetera. And it's all done after the fact. Everything after the fact. Org officer always operates. He always tells people to authorize things after they have been done. He runs totally backwards. An org officer who sits around and waits for approvals, of course, is very safe until you see his stats, because his stats will be nowhere. You get the run of the thing. So what does he do about this? Well, he routes this person to qual. What does he do? He can now put it on a dispatch line. He can even give the person the dispatch. Take this to qual. Maybe the person doesn't wind up in qual, but he's got to get another dispatch to HCO and say so-and-so has been routed to qual. Well, what's qual going to do? And that's qual's problem. Qual ought to be well enough organized to take care of that. Person says, what do I do? And qual says, what's it all about? They can find out.
They also would then get some kind of...
If the QualSec was part of the product org scene, or if there was a deputy QualSec, as there would be in an ideally organized org, he would have the full gen on this within the next day or so. Now, the failure to publish what goes on is the fault. The failure to publish, and that is what your orders of the day are for. They are really not for those people who have cleaning stations and so forth, and Bessie Ann Glutz was married yesterday, and we're happy about her, and so on. Nothing to do with that. Today, and we're happy about her. The org officer says so-and-so, and the product officer says so-and-so, and they don't have to be gloomy about it all, but they certainly have the dominant point. They have to keep the org informed as to their actions. Now, there's such a thing as keeping an org informed of just what is going on. But certainly, what affects the org would be the product officer and org officer, so that they don't inform the org of what's going on, why all hell breaks loose. Because nobody knows. They become very unstabilized. They go in and they see an examiner one day, and they see another examiner the next day. And then they go around and they think they're talking to the examiner, but he's now cleaning out mud boxes or something, and they think he sure looks funny as an examiner, all covered with mud, and so forth. Well, they don't know. They don't know. So's the place with little mysteries, unless it's published what you did. Now, that in itself is quite an action. So the action which I rehearsed on this thing and so on, because I actually moved in as a product officer, and I've been an org officer, and so on. So I'm speaking from firsthand information, not from theoretical workout. Is I found out that after I had undertaken a product and had begun to get the product, at that moment I had to write up whatever I had to do in order to get that product and make it known. Now, the ball could only be picked up by other people if that were done. So you're operating on two systems. One is the lineal system, and the other is the triangular system. Lineal system would be where the product officer is more or less operating autonomously, and he is writing up his products as he got the product, he got it going, and then he made notes while he was doing this, and then he wrote it up in some fashion or another, and then he says what he thinks ought to have happen over in that org area, and it may not be what happens over in the org area, but what he has stated that he ran into will be cared for,
because you see, he didn't conduct a thorough investigation.
It might be somewhat different by the time it's investigated, but he just indicates what he ran into, and then he passes all of that sideways over onto the org officer's lines. So you keep a running fire of what is happening. Now, he also has notes, and he should mark in these notes consistently and continuously what outnesses he finds. Now, he will find a certain number of flubs, and he certainly carries a notation of these flubs. Now, the org officer's stats or reputation depends on the reduction of these flubs. Now, if the product officer's notes as of the first week in January are the same as the product officer's notes carrying the same flubs and names in the third week in January, then the org officer is definitely not doing his job. In other words, the organization is not advancing back toward the ideal scene because these flub points have not been handled. Now, to some degree, you will find that there are always some flub points that don't get handled. It's impossible, just that. Absolutes are unobtainable, and nowhere are they unobtainable so much as in an org officer's area, because he has various human elements. He has to produce personnel from nowhere. He has to actually cope with the fact that finance is busy telling him that there is no possible FP. If you hire two more people, you will decrease our pay, and we won't be able to something or other. And, of course, if you don't hire, then he can say, well, if you don't hire two more people, you won't have any pay at all. And it goes back and forth. But he has other conflicts and lines which he is trying to cope with in this, so he doesn't always bring it off the way the product officer thinks it ought to have been brought off, because other factors may have been present. You follow? So these things that the product officer writes up are not necessarily orders in themselves, but they are indicators and what he would like to have happen and what he thinks is wrong. And that gives you a working basis on which to operate. So a product officer busy getting his product, why, it's fine. He at least has to express what he's running into. An org officer, because we're talking mainly about org officers at this time, would be absolutely up the spout if he didn't know what the product officer was up to and what the product officer had run into in trying to get this and that. He would not actually be able to do his job very long or very well. I found that that was definitely the case while I was operating as a product officer, and I could imagine what would happen if a person operating as an org officer was not informed of these sudden shifts, changes, actions, orders, and so on, which had occurred. Because it would look to the org officer, now let's take the org officer's point of view, it looked to the org officer like all the product officer was doing was tearing up the organization as fast as it could be put back together again. That would be the complete conviction an org officer would eventually get into. If the product officer didn't scribble down some notes and make these things available and so forth to the org officer, what he was trying to do. So therefore, in order to do his job at all, you would have to have a daily cruise around the place. You'd have to, in that daily cruise, note such things as supplies, and you'd have to note such things as the condition of equipment and machinery and whether it was being kept up or not. And you'd certainly have to notice the condition and morale and the busyness or lack of busyness of the personnel involved. And you'd have to notice the condition of the communication lines. And then the next action that would have to be done there by the org officer, he'd have to ensure daily that the org's training program was being followed and that hatting on a long-range basis is never slacked off. In other words, is HCO continuing to do a job? Is there a schedule in this place so that we eventually have fully hatted people? Are we going to go through life with instant hatted people or people on post in total mystery? Fellows looking at this stack of folders blankly, and every once in a while he looks over and he sees all that stack of folders, and he's getting kind of allergic to that stack of folders. He doesn't know his post title, and he doesn't know why those folders keep stacking up on his desk. That would be the reductio ad absurdum of the whole show. So he's got to make sure that there is some continuous training action going on and that hatting is occurring. He also has the idea of major courses, because as I told you, you begin with a course supervisor who makes auditors. And then the auditors, you take on some of those auditors and you audit PCs with those auditors, you see. And he, therefore, has got to make sure that some of the staff members he has are on some kind of a training schedule, quite in addition to the number of public students who are coming in. Now, in a Sea org, this becomes vital because Sea Org members have to be pushed on up the line. You all of a sudden find yourself organizationally, yipes, we got no, we got 865 pieces. Oh, my God, what the hell are we going to do here? There's no, no auditors. And then they start hiring auditors, and then the next thing you know, why, the Sea Org is all scrambled up in some fashion or another, and you can't have any Sea Org members in charge of anything because they don't have the technical. That's peculiarly a Sea Org problem. Very peculiarly. All of a sudden, look around, you wind up, and you've got a bunch of HDCs at the most, you see, and what you need at that particular moment is Class 6. And then you can't, you only got HDCs, so nobody has actually been pushed up the line to become a QualSec, and suddenly you find that you're terribly, terribly thin at the top, just because nobody has anticipated a long-range training schedule. At this moment, we could use a board flag at an absolute minimum, right aboard flag, at this instant. We could use 3 FEBCs just at this instant, just to fill in the screaming gaps. And then you'd need some more, and we should have a spare CLO team, all of whom should be FEBCs. Well, we have to work on a new basis, and not a new basis, but an old basis. What we do organizationally on long-range training and so on is we always send out people who are better trained than the last team. And we just work on that as the way we work toward the ideal scene. It's always just that, better trained. The ART formula applies here, perfection. You can work for perfection to a point where you get nothing done, and an organizing officer can do this. Oh, my God. He can go for perfection before he lets anything go, and so on. Well, that is how we do it. With this time, it is better than the last one. And it's true. It's worked out over the last couple of years. We're always sending out a better team than the last one we sent. But to do that, you have to make sure that there's not only full hatting training, that there is also some people who are being full-time trained along administrative lines, or, if you can't do that, certainly part-time trained along administrative lines, so that you would get another program would follow in through the back of the hat program. The person would finish up his hatting program, and then we're continuing him on to finish off his administrative courses, like his OEC, his FEBC, and we do that at part-time. And then if we add very, very alert organizing officers in the tech division who were thinking of the organization at large, they would scream like banshees at the idea of there being a very few people on major courses. And sure enough, not too long ago, we're screaming and said there's nobody down here at all on a major technical course. There hasn't been a full-time technical course student for some time. Well, they were calling the shots, and it was perfectly true. So that's part of the organization thing, not only the hatting, but also making sure that somewhere up the line you'll have personnel qualified, even though you're doing it on a part-time basis. So he's got to have some kind of programming for some future organization. And an organization is composed of trained people. It isn't composed of dead bodies. The Sea Org does a fantastic amount of training. We do a fabulous amount of training. And it compares definitely with... we used to do a lot of training in earlier Scientology orgs. That training factor of the staff is nowhere near today what it used to be, but I've managed to get it going again in Scientology orgs over the last year. But it's not adequate. Somebody is thinking in terms of, we haven't got enough money, we don't have enough people. World population explosion, we haven't got enough people. Bull. I might have believed somebody in 17-5. The scarcest thing there is in the world today is a hat. Do you think that for one moment these people on welfare and relief and so forth in the United States or in other areas and so on are happy to be suddenly relegated to a hatless life? No, boy. Every time you have welfare payments, you've got unhappy people and you've got an incipient revolution. There's people all over the place. But a group has a tendency to exclude, and it shouldn't, particularly a group such as ours. Well, you raise your security standards too high, and you don't get any people at all, and you put them too low, and the next thing you know, you've got some wild ones on your hands. All right. So somewhere in between is the right level. Not only never has been found, but it never will be found. What it takes is an alert HCO. By the time the guy thinks his post consists of breaking ketchup bottles on the funnel and so forth, why, you have to do something about it. But you have this problem in orgs. Now, what an organizing officer has to do as he goes around, he very easily detects where recruitment has been or hiring has been at fault. Now, if he's too critical of it, I've seen somebody stumble around for a day or two and fumble and try to find the staircase and so on, and finally actually wind up with repeated instant hattings and so forth and informings and so forth, finally wind up so that they had enough familiarity to do the job. I've seen this happen. I've also seen it happen. It just got worse and worse. And that short of processing, you see, your management misunderstands the organizational misunderstands cycle there is something that we can pay some attention to, but those who are out in orgs at this moment are not able to pay as much attention to it as we are at Flag, because in the first place, we're dealing with a very superior, and not to be snide about it, in Flag, we're dealing with a very superior level of flubless auditing. We do it by the book, and nobody gets by anything, and so on. So the auditing doesn't foul up. And also, we're dealing with a very superior level of tech, which when orgs qualify, they can have. You will be in the clover when you have got an org well enough put together so it can afford a department that could run L-10s. Standard of field auditing at this present moment forbids it utterly. So we've got to export course supervisors, course supervision. We've got to support all the little tricks and expectancies and so forth that are done on Flag, how we get these results. It isn't that nobody else in the world gets any results, but they've got to be uniformly good, and the flub results must not be tolerated. And the guy must make his flub results in areas of auditing where it doesn't mess up anything. So you'll be in clover on your organizational misunderstoods the moment that a Scientology or Sea Org org has achieved a sufficient, well, there's various eligibility factors with regard to it, and they probably will always exist, probably be varied one way or the other, certain volume, certain successes, certain premises, and so on, because at this moment you're in clover. Right now your neck is a little bit out in that you can't probably handle the extreme cases, the suppressives and so forth, who actually get sideways on your lines and cause turbulation. So you are still on a very heavy alertness along this line, particularly amongst new personnel. Now, you don't want to hire 15 or 20 personnel and then just keep them on forever. The principle we operate on is hire lots of them and retain those who make it. And it's up to the org officer then in this patrol. There's two places in his patrol. He notes this. He sees what's going on. And he knows he's got somebody who's good or he hasn't. Now, he can get too highly critical about the whole thing. There's another point where he can detect this. In hatting, the person never can seem to get his hat on. And so the statistics, the study statistics he's getting off the individual, have some meaning. They are not reliable. It isn't the person who apparently studies very fast is not always the best personnel, and the person who studies very slow is not always the best personnel, but the person who can't study at all is quite something else. Now, this will show up in your hatting actions. So, the study rate, or the ability to apply the information which is studied, is a factor in selecting personnel, which is often overlooked. So the org officer also, in his long-range programs, in his daily study, and so on, should also have some kind of point stats and that sort of thing, so that he looks at it and sees who's doing well. I wouldn't go on that all by myself. I would take a personal observation of the post combined with how the person is doing on his studying and so forth, makes a meaningful picture. So maybe I'm beating that to death, but the study program has, I point it out again, it has two factors that an organizing officer can get out of it. Not only does he make sure that it's occurring, but also, is anybody getting anything done when he does study? Now, it is not necessarily true that a bad personnel never goes to study. That is not a true factor either. Very often you find a personnel is too drowned on his post and too responsible for his post and doing a good job on his post within limits. And he will put his post ahead of his study. Well, this, you can't be too critical of that. But you can point out that the things he's having trouble with on his post are usually handled in study. And if he will afford a little bit of time to study, he might have a little bit better time on his post. PR action. That is very true. I've seen people struggle and have a hell of a time trying to get out, well, let's say a project, something like that, when if, for the love of Pete, they had ever spent any time whatsoever on studying the target policies or the data series, why, it would all come straight. And the hours and hours they're busy wasting on trying to turn out flubby products could very better, much better, be invested in some part-time study on turning out a non-flubby product. So there's some point of adjustment in this. But you have to watch the progress of the staff member on his course as well as his action on his job. It isn't too meaningful on the course, but it must occur. You're mainly interested, is it occurring? You'll find some sort of silly situations develop as an organizing officer. You find all kinds of silly situations like a person has started 8 courses. Way to handle that, of course, is which one requires the least time to finish. Good, finish it. Which is the next one that requires the least time to finish? Finish it. Don't let them start a new course. So you're monitor of that. Now, the third point that we're making here is the handle any and all orders from the product officer within the time you're given. Well, of course, that'd be a heavenly dream if one could. But one can try. One can try. And if one does not have an establishment officer, different than an org officer, it isn't likely that any long-range program will ever come off. So an org officer who isn't operating with a good HCOAS and so forth is very, very improbable that he will be able to, he will find himself after a while, a third month on the post, he will find that he is following less and less of the orders which he is getting. But if he's backed up by a good HAS who's putting an establishment there behind him, as he goes along, he will find out that it's easier and easier to do this. And the dream of it is you say, blip, and the product officer says, and so, Bob, and we expect 162 pre-clears in the next week. And very good. The org officer says, you better hire 162 auditors, and they're going to be so forth over the next year, of which you will have something on the order of 30 of them will have to be on the job this next week. And immediately, why, personnel simply sends some telegrams and tells some people report to work, and the next Monday, why, they're all there, report to work, because they've already been hatted and ginned in, don't you see? could be so easy as you simply tell the chairman of the Auditors Association that next Monday you will need 17 additional Class 4s, and they will all be there. You see, well, we're really dealing with an ideal scene, but you see, you could work it up to that. It doesn't always have to be frantic. So, that is a duty he has, and he tries to attain, as the org officer tries to handle the orders from the product officer. But the other thing is the org officer who waits for orders from the product officer is already 4 or 5 feet behind the product officer, and he ought to be 4 or 5 feet ahead of him. So he's got 8 or 10 feet that he has lost. And in view of the fact, as which queen was it? He had to run like everything just to keep up in Alice in Wonderland. The org officer has to run like everything just to stay even with the product officer. What does he have to do when he gets behind him? The burst of speed and the demand would be fabulous. So he isn't then just waiting for orders. If he just sits around and waits for the product officer's orders, why, right away. I always like to be in a saucy position as a subordinate, in a subordinate post. Very saucy. Impudent. Actually, it takes people aback. It's about the only way you can occupy. I don't think very many people know how to occupy a subordinate post, actually, if the org officer is subordinate to the product officer. It's an art. It's an actual art. And one time I thought I've told you this story before. Well, one time I thought, what is this? Every place I go and everything I do, I always wind up in command of it. And I'm pointed at the command of it. Is there something wrong with me? Is it going to be, this was decades ago or anything, and I was saying, well, is there something wrong with me? I mean, is it something peculiar that I have to be in charge of everything, that I have to be the boss? I guess I've been reading Freudian literature. And there must be something wrong with me, and so on. And I would think, well, and I don't know, I don't remember really. I have occasionally made a bid for that sort of thing, but there must be something wrong. And I was very, very happy one time because I was physically bunged up and wasn't supposed to be around at all to be put in a subordinate capacity. And I was a third in command. I found it was a breeze. I was never so happy in my life as to discover I'm just an excellent subordinate, that it's just a piece of cake. I didn't have to be in command of things at all and so forth. And in that subordinate capacity, I was in command of the ship. didn't want anything to do with it. Actually, that was the mock-up. But inevitably, and so forth, people come around and ask me they were supposed to do what the captain said. I said, no, man, cool it off, you know, don't bother me. I found out the popular valence at that time was a gold brick. And I've had chief petty officers and that sort of thing say to me, Mr. Hubbard, you are just about the greatest gold brick I have ever seen in the entire Navy. Pride, you know, admiration. And that was because I apparently didn't ever work and was able to get my job done on the time when somebody else was eating sandwiches. It would just be the speed of internal and immediate organization. So it didn't appear to be very stressful. And got all kinds of things done, left and right. And the way to be a perfectly impudent, insouciant, utterly, completely tolerable, but utterly and awfully left alone by seniors, subordinate, where they're very nice to you at parties and so forth, but just a little bit on the qui vive where you were concerned, is, I've done that. Yes, well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Yes, we handle that. Thank you. Only it has to be a fact. Your answers to an order are always past tense. So you see how this fits into an org officer-product relationship. The product officer storms in and he says there's going to be 116 PCs next week. And what are we going to do about it? Well, yes, we actually got them and they're all lined up. All the auditors line up. We got the auditing rooms and so on. We're going to use the pre-clear's own rented rooms when they come in for auditing rooms and so on. It's all straightened up. We got five new people on tech services. And they're being genned in this week. As a matter of fact, they should be had it now. As a matter of fact, so thank you. Thanks for telling me. It's confirmed, is that right? Oh, good. Thanks for confirming it. There we are. You would just be amazed at what this starts doing. Except you have to be on the ball, and you have to do your job the whole way. And when you do your job the whole way as an org officer, you're always in that position. Somebody says, what the hell are we going to do? We're going to have this new bunch of students. We're going to run this special course, and the literature and so on has been mailed. And what are we going to do for chairs and that sort of thing? They're being made now, sir. Only probably in the org officer, product officer relationship, you wouldn't even use sir too close. But what an enviable position, and what a fearsome presence. Now somebody else tries to occupy your boots, he's got a near impossibility. Bessie Ann is off her post. I know, I sent her home. George will be there in about 5 minutes to take care of it. But operator's a product officer, how would you like to have an org officer that was like that? Wouldn't that be a piece of cake? Wouldn't that be a piece of cake, huh? Our GR target next month, is 27,000 a week. All right, that's all the org officer would have to hear. I'm going to say that'll take so much so on, since we're on so on, and take so many, and we better do so and so on, so on, so on. And say to the people in charge of financial planning, you better get your financial planning jacked up along the line and so on, because the promotion level is going to be so and so and so and so on. We're going to send out very heavy mailing, and we need a whole bunch of new people here, and their categories are so and so and so and so on. Now, the product officer would actually be in his own rights to do a whole write-up of how he was going to get that product. A weekly GI at 27,000 by next month. He'd be in his own rights. He could plan it all out and figure it out and so on. But he'd have to decide how he was going to render that much service, and the big idea would be expected from him. What's the big idea you're going to put out into the public that's going to bring that many men in, Mr. Bones? See? You just saw one going out of here on an FBDL. And so on. That's a product officer's penchant. What's he going to sell? Go on. One just went out of here. It's a big idea. They're all supposed to come in and get checked out for. So on. We've used it before. Terribly successful. Would drive the people down on an org. So the product officer's mainly in the business of driving people in on the org. And the org officer's job is to put an org there that'll handle them. And he does that by preventing the decline of the existing org and forcing the HCOAS to put enough org there to build it up. And that's the way you do the 1, 2, 3. So the product officer, he's got it going wham, 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 wham. He never thinks about how many people he drives in on the arc. And the arc officer takes a look at this and says, let's see, the GI in January was 2,000 a week, and in February was 3,000 a week. And in March was 4,000 a week. I wonder why that little drop occurred there in March. Well, I know why it dropped, because we'd already doubled our GI. Now, if that's increasing at the rate of 2,000 a week, it's probably a slight curve. It probably isn't. So we're just stretching out the rest of the year and find out what the GI is going to be by next January. Next January at 2000 and so forth, we're going to be dealing with something on the order of about a 20,000 GI per week, and that takes that many pre-clears, that many auditors, that many e-meters, that many book sales, that much promotion money, this, that, the other thing. Well, we better get on the ball. What actions are we taking at this very moment to train up auditors in this particular area to go to work for the org? So that's how he keeps ahead of the product officer. He can do an extrapolation. He can figure out what is the load and what is the load going to be, just by extending the curve. Now, you also extend the down curve, and he will find out what the load is going to be. It's going to be zero. So he's not going to have any organization at all if he extends the GI and some of these orgs a little bit further. All right. Now, an org officer picks up any outnesses in the establishment of the organization and handles and reports the product officer what was done. So there's a backflow here. And where large actions are required, he's got to write up a CSW, what was found and recommended handling, and so forth, to the product officer. Now, we're still talking about a lineal line flow. That is where the product officer is more or less doubling in brass with the CO or executive director. So he would say, look, this is what we're going to have, or this is what we can't have, or this is what I can put in, and this is what I can't put in. In other words, he's got to give some kind of a backflow here to inform, keep the product officer informed as to the facilities. And this comes under the heading, actually, of what you call a capability. And the product officer has to have some idea of his org's capability and some idea of his personnel's capability. Not necessarily to put a limitation on the thing, but so he can improve it or extend it. Now, the capability is in the hands of the organizing officer. What is it capable of? Now, that takes resources, and we get into the whole subject of resources. They're already mentioned in, I think, the org series and so on. There's resources. What are the resources you have? And that's a product officer's black dog of Karnak. He seldom has the resources to do what he's supposed to do. So actually, the org officer should keep him advised of his resources. What are resources? How many auditors can we hire? How many course supervisors are there? How much auditing room do we have? And that sort of thing. These are our resources. I'll give you an idea right now. I had to solve a very bad problem administratively, very bad problem. Something came up and so on, some stats were going down. I had to look around at once and do a resources estimation. Now, that actually is an organizing officer has to answer up loud and clear, what resources do we have? Because the resources I needed was a CO product officer and an org officer and an assistant production aide. Now, that is an assistant production aide. And I had to, what the devil? Where could we get them? And the resources, we were able to utilize the resources we had at that particular moment to save the situation. And then I actually rewrote the program just last night to gain further resources. We were going to throw a couple of away, so we all of a sudden got those, and we're going to utilize those. So this is resources. You follow? What are your resources? And the ability to return things to the ideal scenes in the data series, the discussion of resources. How do you return things to the ideal scene depends on what resources you have.
This concludes part one of the Org Officer and His Resources. Part two is FEBC number 7.